Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Come, 91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made.
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscover Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
All right, Matt, it is time for something that I don't think has ever happened or will ever happen again, which is that we are about to talk about a Weird Al title track that is a polka medley.
Yeah, this is it. This is the only one where the album was named after the polka.
I think Dare to Be Stupid's the only other one where it's even got a title track.
Ooh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
I guess unless you count the UHF soundtrack, I feel like that's like a weird...
Well,
like,
yeah, okay, so if we're counting UHF, then yeah, there is the title UHF song.
But yeah, there's no Off the Deep End song, there's no Alapalooza song, there's no Bad Hair Day, there's no Running with Scissors, or like...
Poodle Hat, Alpocalypse.
This is kind of the end of it.
Straddle Linwood, yeah, you're right.
Very weird. I feel like the title track of an album thing isn't as popular as it was way back when.
I guess not, yeah. It's interesting, I mean, maybe it's just... It's funny that Al wouldn't do a title track, but maybe he's just, I don't know, his ideas are so all over the place that I think a title track implies that there's a single thing that represents the whole record. Like one song is representative of the whole thing, and that's just not his style for the most part.
And it makes sense with Dare to Be Stupid. We, you know, as we're having this conversation, I've realized that I knew about this album for a while. Like as soon as I, because I know you were like, I really didn't even know this album existed.
Yeah.
I had watched that video compilation so much, and I was like, I need to know what every single song, like what album every single song is off of.
Yeah.
And I didn't love Living in America. So, like, I already had this, or Living with a Hernia. So, the song already kind of ranked low in my eyes.
Right.
But then, because it was called Polka Party, and I was still not fully on board with the polkas, I put off this album for a really long time, assuming that it was like the two singles and just a shit ton of polkas.
Yeah.
Because I was young and
this
stupid.
Album had Christmas at Ground Zero, Living with a Hernia, and then eight polka medleys.
Let's jump into this polka medley, because I know we've talked about sometimes this whole album is an example of a lot of Al picking the wrong song, assuming that it would be a big hit.
Sure.
And even this polka, I feel like it's split right down the middle. There's a decent amount of songs that still are big songs, and then there is a spot in the middle where I'm just like, none of these songs resonate with me even a little
bit. That's very interesting, because I don't feel the same way about that, but let's get into it. I'm curious to know which ones you feel like, because I actually was just going to say, I feel like, for the most part, this medley hits some pretty good... I feel like some of the songs in this medley would have been better served as parodies in terms of longevity. Like, he hit some really good markers in this medley.
So I'm not saying that these are all bad at all. I just think that there is and this will be the case in almost every polka, but there are definitely a handful where I'm like, ooh, that's the one you picked by that artist?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
But all right. So we kick it off, Sledgehammer. Love this fucking song.
Oh,
love
yeah.
this polka intro. It's great. You could have a big dipper going up and down all around the bends. You could have a bumper car bumping. This amusement never ends. I want to be your sledgehammer. Why don't you call my name? Oh, let me be your sledgehammer. This will be my testimony, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we ever get any other Peter Gabriel from Al. So,
well, we definitely have some Peter Gabriel style parodies.
Oh,
down the line.
Then we will hold off on deep dive.
Yeah, no, it's great. I also love the we already heard the in the last polka medley we covered, Sledgehammer has the I wanna be bang bang, like that hammer anvil
yeah.
sound, which he used in Bang Your Head. On
yeah.
the previous, it's pretty much the exact same thing. And you know what? I'm not mad to hear it again.
No,
it's super
it's
fun.
Great.
It's super fun.
The anvil should be in more stuff.
Yeah, more hammer anvil sounds in music, guys.
I agree. I feel like it's not an accident that we go from one vocalist of Genesis
hey.
Right into another vocalist
See,
from Genesis.
This is the kind of stuff Al, yes. No, it is definitely not an accident, knowing Al.
With Studio.
Yes.
Studio.
Studio.
Do we get any more Phil Collins
no.
in Al's? Okay, so let's talk Phil Collins.
I don't think
a
so. You know, the polkas are the only wings. Every once in a while, I look at a polka. I'm like, oh, yeah, that is in there.
But I feel like this is kind of the peak of Phil. So I love Phil Collins. Like, Phil Collins solo. I know that, like, people are really divided. I don't know. People like to be divided on vocalists in popular bands
yes.
in ways that don't make sense to me. Like, I can enjoy Sammy Hagar singing in Van Halen
sure.
just as much as David Lee Roth,
yes.
and it doesn't change my enjoyment of Van Halen.
Sure.
And that's my same perspective on Genesis. They're two different sides of the Genesis coin, for sure, and that shows in, like, Peter Gabriel continuing to do very abstract, weird solo music, while Phil Collins definitely did way more poppier solo music, but they're both valid and good, and Genesis never stopped being proggy and weird.
It's like, true, yeah. I mean, well, I think Phil Collins definitely pulled Genesis more into the mainstream, but again, and which is the reason why, like, music snobs are always like, the Peter Gabriel stuff is because it's weird and progressive. And I mean, the reason why Genesis just finished their, like, farewell arena tour is entirely because of Phil Collins.
100%. And it's like, let's not pretend that Invisible Touch still doesn't have, like, an 8-minute prog instrumental with the Brazilian, or like the extended version of Tonight Tonight is almost 10 minutes long. Like,
no, you're right.
It's not like he just was like, oh, we're going mainstream and we're just writing 3-minute
yeah.
pop hits and
yeah,
nothing
yeah, yeah.
else. Like,
no, it's true. And it's funny, you know, there's a, when I used to work at the record store, there's this funny phenomenon I saw, which was like bigger artists. You could sort of see public perception change when you took a record, like Phil Collins records, like everybody had a copy of No Jacket Required. So anytime you got a record collection in, it had a few, like it had that record in it, it had a few Phil Collins records. And they were so common and not popular, like they were in the dollar bin always because nobody really
yeah.
bought them. It was a cheap record. And while I was there over a few years, I watched them move from the dollar bin to the $3 bin to the $4, $5, like suddenly they just kept going up because people wanted them. And now I feel like Phil Collins is more, he's probably the most respected in a long time. I think people have really kind of come around to him.
All the memes about his Tarzan soundtrack.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that, it's like that. You had like In the Air Tonight had this huge resurgence
yes.
because of The Hangover
yes.
for a while. Like Studio, I like Studio, but I can admit that it is definitely his like, one of his more cheesy pop radio.
It is. It is definitely. It's not my favorite of his. At the time this came out, this was a big song. It is cheesy. It works well in this context, especially if you want to talk cheesy as the thing that takes us into Party All the Time.
Party All the Time.
By Eddie Murphy. Honestly, in the context of this polka, I am delighted that it's here. I really am. Yes. I really am. It's a great marker. The thing I love about these polkas, with a couple exceptions, I think we've kind of gotten past them now. Well, we still have a couple of weird ones like the Bohemian polka, but it's this great snapshot. In general, Al's albums function as a snapshot of that moment in pop culture because he's yes. generally referencing stuff that's so of the moment. And the medley is like, here's what was on the radio in 1986. And I love hearing, because, you know, it's just so all over the place. But yeah, I mean, where else are you going to hear Party All the Time?
Exactly.
Not on your current radio station, that's for sure.
No, not at all. This is where we get into a few of the songs that I'm like, I just don't think these are the songs for these artists. I like Lionel Richie. I don't think Say You, Say Me is the, like, the Lionel Richie song that people think of.
Say you. Say me. Say it for always. That's the way it should be.
I think it's one of the ones people think of. I don't know. What do people think of more?
I would say Hello, All Night Long.
Yeah, I mean, Hello also had its meme moment, didn't it?
Yeah, but All Night Long, I feel like, has been the song that has persisted forever. And I would just like to hear All Night Long in a polka, honestly.
You know, that's
like
fair.
Him doing the
that's
all
fair.
Night long, yeah. All night. And then we go into, I really don't know this song. I've never heard Freeway of Love by Aretha Franklin.
Riding on the freeway of love, winds against our back. We're going riding on the freeway of love
in a pink Cadillac.
Oh, just really quick, back to Say You, Say Me. I love, it's a thing that comes up in the polkas a lot as well. I will always laugh at the whining trumpet with the mute, the say you,
wah,
say
wah,
me.
Wah, yeah. Wah.
Like, yeah. Every time he does that, I laugh. It's just such a funny device.
It's such, dude, mutes. It's so interesting that mutes can be used for something so comedic like that.
It's hilarious.
But then, like, one of my favorite New Orleans jazz songs, like Duke Ellington doing, was it East Side Toodaloo?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful when used appropriately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you know this Aretha Franklin song? Like, this song came up and I'm like, I have no clue what this
I do
is.
Know this. This was definitely like a later. So again, in these polkas, I often think that it's like, it's him picking stuff of the moment, but I also feel like it's maybe this was a later hit for Aretha. You know, this was like past her biggest days, generally speaking. But this was a hit at this time period. And I feel like maybe Al is just a fan and is like, I really want to do an Aretha. Like, it's an opportunity for him to do somebody that he hasn't been able to cover yet. And he'll just grab that opportunity, be like, oh, if I have a chance to sing an Aretha Franklin song that's of the moment, I want to take it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think, again, I'm projecting a little bit there, but that's my guess. But it was a hit for sure. It was definitely a hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got no complaint about In Excess, What You Need. I mean, NXS, painfully underrated band, so many songs that you could do, but this was definitely a big one.
I actually love, this is maybe going to be hard to explain, but from a musical nerdy sense, the song What You Need is all about the rhythm. It's got this very herky-jerky rhythm to it. If you don't think you know that song, I'm sure you do if you listen to it. It's a very, very big hit. And the way that they were able to integrate the song rhythmically into the polka without it feeling awkward is very impressive to me musically. Because it actually still has that da-da-da-da, those like hits to it. But I don't know. I'm impressed by their ability to stitch it into this medley. I would have never known how to get this squeezed between Aretha Franklin and the Rolling Stones. But Al pulled it off. I would have thought
it
wouldn't work.
It's very quick, though.
It's very quick.
They jump in and out of the In Excess one super fast. And like you said, we go into Harlem Shuffle by Rolling Stones.
Now. Yeah, 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 do the Harlem polka.
not the first time that there's going to be a swing and a miss on Al predicting what's going to be a big Rolling Stones hit that lasts for eternity.
Yeah.
It's quick. I think it's mostly just because he wanted to say do the Harlem
the
Polka in the middle
Harlem
of the song.
Yeah, exactly. And he got to do a real like Oompa, like Oktoberfest style instrumental underneath it. Yeah, that's the joke of really including this song, which is fine. Again, I think I agree that this is the least, oddly, by the Rolling Stones, I think this is the most obscure now track that's on this.
Which is funny because the next polka that we're going to talk about is an all Rolling Stones polka.
I know. Which, boy, does he love the Stones.
This is where I'm done. Like, that is the block where I was like, oh, I don't know if he picked the right songs by some of these artists in this point. Mm-hmm. From this point on, he's killing it.
Yeah. Venus.
Venus.
She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it. Well, I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. What's your desire?
Perfect. Like, so good, works beautifully. I have never really dug deeper into Bananarama, though.
Good. They're like, a good. No, I'm sorry. They are a good band. It sounded like I was saying good.
You're like, good.
I've never dug into Banana. Good. Don't. Good. No, no. They are good. They are good. They made good records. You should definitely.
Just a ridiculous name.
It's a ridiculous name.
Venus that quickly segues into Nasty by Janet is so good. That's great.
Yes. Another really tricky musically. We've said it before about these polkas, but I have to say it every time. The musicianship that goes into making these is unbelievable. And both the way it's composed, the way he manages to stitch it all together, and the way the band plays rhythmically, like the cut into Nasty with like the stops,
yeah,
is really, really intense. And this is so fast. I feel like more than usual, this polka is light speed.
I even wrote, this feels really fast. This feels short.
Yes, it does.
I think it's like maybe like 3 minutes and 20 seconds, but it feels like it's 2 minutes. Like, it moves so quickly through these songs.
Yeah.
The trash cans come in for Falco doing Rock Me Amadeus.
I like this part. Oh, Rock Me Amadeus. Oh, Rock Me Amadeus. Oh, Rock Me Amadeus.
Absolutely love
this
song.
And my favorite thing about the entire polka is when that comes in, it's that crazy trash can drum beat, and it's just that, and Al just over the top of it at one point just goes, I like this part. I love that so much.
That is true. He does do that. So we did an episode about Falco on One Hit Thunder.
Oh, yeah?
And everyone should check it out, beyond the fact that it's a great song, interesting story. Technically, Falco's a really interesting person because Falco, A, was the, I think he was the first non-English song to hit number one. Because most of that song is sang in German.
Yeah.
But secondly, he is a one-hit wonder in the United States. He's had a couple other hits in Germany and then a different one-hit wonder covered one of his songs, and that was their one hit in the States. They translated it to English and did a cover of it, and that was a different band's one hit. That
was
Don't
featured.
Turn around. Oh, uh-oh.
That's in a movie that I know.
It's in Wedding Singer.
That's it. That is it. Yes. Wow.
It's definitely in Wedding Singer. But yes, so Falco is one of the weird artists that is a one-hit wonder in the States, and then another one of their hits in a different country was covered for a different artist to be a one-hit wonder. Very rare thing. Just a fun little Falco fact.
Yeah, I love fun little Falco facts.
I also think that I genuinely did not know the song Rock Me Amadeus until I had A, already known The Simpsons' Dr. Zaius, and then B, the Bloodhound Gang sampling it in one of their
that
songs
exactly
as well.
That is exactly what I was going to say. The Bloodhound Gang have a song called Mope, and that is the intro. It's boom, boom, oop, Rock Me Amadeus, and that's the setup of the beat, yeah.
Dude, that song, Mope, might be low-key the best song that the Bloodhound Gang ever did. That song is insane.
That is an absolutely insane song. I haven't listened to that in such a long time, but I might have to revisit it now.
One day I've always dreamed of having a friend who knows the song as well as I do so that we could do it at karaoke.
Yes.
It's such a crazy karaoke song.
It's possible that I could be that friend, Matt. We'll have to see.
Oh, man. Maybe. one day, maybe we'll play Alcon one day. They'll be
there
like, hey, let's bring in the Weird Algorithm podcast. And I'm sure there's a karaoke night.
I'm sure, yeah, at Alcon, the thing they're going to want us to do is to do a Bloodhound Gang karaoke event.
A very filthy Bloodhound Gang.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
All right, so it goes into Shout, which is fun, but again, it's short. Like, a lot of these are like 15 seconds, we're in and out of these covers. Shout, hey! Shout, hey!
It's funny again because, like, obviously the polkas inherently are this, like, you know, get in and get out as fast as you possibly can. But this one does have exceptionally frantic energy compared to some of the other ones.
So.
Yeah.
So, first of all, let's talk Tears for Fears for a second because I don't think that we're going to get a chance to ever again on this podcast with any future songs.
I don't think we will.
What a great band from the 80s.
Such a great band.
Like,
even
the,
up until the recent
songs
day.
From the Big Chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that record is a masterpiece and is, you know, a reasonably well-documented masterpiece, which is great. There was a, I think it's called Break It Down Again by Tears for Fears that our old sound guy used to play before every Weedus show. It was like a thing he would play while we were like getting set up on stage. Break It Down Again by Tears for Fears is a fantastic song from, I think, the early 90s. They're such a great band. Everything I've heard from them, I've just been like, oh my God, this is just wonderful.
Did you ever watch the show Psych?
No. I know of it, but okay. I didn't watch it.
So first of all, the show Psych is great. In the second episode, I think it's the first episode of the second season, there is an episode called American Duets that I highly recommend. Tim Curry plays like a Simon host of a like American Idol type show, and people are dying on the set of this show, and it seems like they are dying by things that are set up to kill Tim Curry's character specifically.
Oh, okay.
So he hires the two guys as psychic detectives to try to figure out who's out to get him. And there is this reoccurring joke that starts in that episode that when these two characters were friends in elementary school, they did a duet for their school play of a dream encounter of Kurt Smith and Michael Jackson.
Oh, God.
It's so dumb, but that episode was so popular, and they just kept this theory, this thing going on that the one dude is obsessed with Tears for Fears and Kurt Smith so much that Kurt Smith has appeared on the show like four different times.
Oh, wow.
As like a guest star that he's like obsessed with, and like Kurt Smith has performed a bunch of Tears for Fears songs acoustically on the show. And
no kidding. Wow, that's amazing.
It's
I had
great.
No idea.
It's a really weird thing, but that's a whole lot to talk about. But my point actually with Tears for Fears that I think is great about the band is they kind of were able to cover really dark, gothy sounds, right?
Yeah.
Something like Shout and Mad World, which became way more famous for the Donnie Darko piano cover. But also these like absolutely joyful, upbeat sounds. Like Head Over Heels is such a good 80s love song. Like Everybody Wants to Rule the World is a song that literally just like makes me want to like go and conquer the world when I hear it. Like it's one of those songs that is the juxtaposition of their sounds.
I love, you know, you realize how rare it is that something like a song is so universally beloved. Even really popular songs, usually people like some people hate a very popular song. And something like Everybody Wants to Rule the World feels like a song that's like impossible to not love, which is so, so hard to do.
I feel like at some point when he was sitting down writing that song and he got to literally just doing the Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Yeah.
He had to have known like, oh, I hit something here.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. They are a great, great, great band. And I did double check. It's interesting. The song I was referencing is technically a Tears for Fears song, but comes from the time period where they actually split up. So it was
So it was just Tears.
It was only Roland Orzabal was Tears for Fears alone for a brief period of time. And he put out a record called Elemental under the name Tears for Fears that has this song Break It Down Again on it. But despite that, it is so good. I'm plugging it one more time. Listen to that song. It's very, very special to me.
So something not included in this polka, but whenever Al performed Polka Party Live during the Monkees tour, in between Shout and the closing song Papa Don't Preach, he would also play Wang Chung's Everybody Have Fun Tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I don't know if that was like a Buddy Holly type situation where it was written to originally include it.
Couldn't get the permission, maybe, yeah.
And they couldn't get the permission. Or if it was just something that he was like, man, we're like ripping through this song and it's really short. Let's add one more in there for time.
You can check the dates on it too. Maybe it just came out slightly later.
Yeah, and it could be that
they
too.
They integrated it in live for the tour because it was like a big hit on the radio at that moment.
There's no way that wasn't a great polka interpretation.
Yeah,
but
totally.
As we've said before, every one of these polkas, there's at least one song that he does where I just think that sounds so good, I could take a full version of it. And weirdly, I think on this one, it's Papa Don't Preach by Madonna.
Please, Papa Don't Preach. I'm in trouble deep. Papa Don't Preach. I've been losing sleep. But I made up my mind. I'm keeping my baby. Oh, I'm gonna keep my baby. I'm gonna keep my baby. Keep my baby. Keep my baby. Keep my baby. Hey!
This sounds so unreasonably good with that banjo going in the background and everything.
Yeah, it's actually funny. I remember when we were talking about Like a Surgeon, I think we said that he doesn't do Madonna again, but we were wrong. Madonna does pop up in two polkas.
Yeah, because she definitely, Ray of Light shows up.
Ray of Light pops up later, yeah.
Late 90s.
But I had totally forgotten about this one, which is surprising because it's the big finale. Yeah, no, this is great. In this format, I remain, again, especially following Weird, I am now permanently in love with the Weird Al Madonna relationship, whether it's real or not. I don't even care. I'm just on board. I'm here for it. I love the idea of those two being friends.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Come, baby, come. 91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
So I want to give us some quick numbers because I do think that this is interesting. This is the shortest polka.
Okay, so we were right about that.
As we already thought. So Polka on 45, which we covered, was 4 minutes and 23 seconds. Hooked on Polkas was 3 minutes and 51 seconds. This one is 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, that's
quick. And then I'm looking at the future ones. Like when we get to Hot Rocks Polka, that's 4 minutes and 50 seconds. When we get to like Polka Your Eyes Out, that's 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So still about 4 minutes. Bohemian Polka is probably the closest to the shortest, but that's just one entire song at 3 minutes and 40 seconds.
It's still alternative. The polka of only one song is somehow longer than this one.
Alternative polka is 4 minutes and 50 seconds. We basically, it's about that 4.5 to 5 minutes. Like the Angry White Boy polka goes over 5 minutes. Polka-rama is the closest to the same time length, which was, no, wait, I'm an idiot. That's four.
Yeah.
So let me see. Even the Hamilton polka? Yeah, Hamilton polka is almost 5 minutes long. Now, Pokemon isn't on here. But
Yeah. Well, still, of the album polkas, this is the only one that's under 3.5 minutes.
I do want to mention these two things that I never known. Maybe I don't know if we can find these anywhere, but there was a thing on this Wikipedia page of all of Weird Al's polkas. It says other. So I clicked the other category.
Okay.
And it says, a polka medley was performed at a 1982 missing persons concert and is considered to be the first official Weird Al polka medley. It included parts of Jocko Homo by Devo, Homo Sapien by Pete Smalley, Sex Junkie
Shelley.
By the... Pete Shelley, sorry, Pete Shelley. I'm looking at this very far away from my phone. Sex Junkie by the Plasmatics, TVOD by the Normal, Bad
Holy
Boys
cow.
Get Spanked by the Pretenders, TV Party by Black Flag,
what?
Janitor by the Suburban Lawns, and People Who Died by the Jim Carroll Band.
My God, you want to talk about a punk rock Weird Al? That is, I am stunned. The Plasmatics and Black Flag. Wow.
Yeah, right.
Holy cow!
And then this ties into Polka Party. In 1986, the year that this came out, the television special Weird Al's Guide to the Grammys, which maybe we do need to take that up for an episode.
I think we might have to.
Featured Yankovic and fellow accordionist Frankie Yankovic performing a short polka medley of the Grammy nominees. It included Born in the USA, Money for Nothing, Boys of Summer, Power of Love, and We Are the World.
Wow.
So I definitely feel like we need to, at the very least, try. I don't think we can find that missing persons concert footage, but that's insane.
We
definitely have to try to find that.
I just looked it up myself because I not that I didn't believe you, Matt, but I had to actually see that written on a website. TVOD by the Normal. I mean, that's crazy.
But that's before the debut album.
Yeah.
So that is peak, like, this is punk rock Weird Al.
And a missing person. They were opening for missing persons. We're going to have to come back to this, but I'm going to look for this. And if there's any, even a snippet of this in the world, I promise I will find it.
Check that MC Lars flash drive. Maybe he's got the live recording somewhere on there.
I literally am grabbing it right now. I don't want to totally derail this episode too much, but we can continue while I quietly look.
While you do that, it is time for us to rank the polkas.
Yes.
Now, it's not up against much here. We've got Hooked on Polkas. Our polkas match currently. Hooked on Polkas is our number one, and Polkas on 45 is our number two. I'm going to go ahead and actually put this at the bottom at number three right now. Polka Party is not my favorite of the Al polkas. When we did Hooked on Polkas and Polkas on 45, I literally was like singing along with it beat by beat. I remembered every transition. I remembered every second of those polkas. It's like etched into my brain. And when we get into the 90s albums, it's even worse with how much it's all like just linked into this part of my brain that registers every moment of those. I can barely remember half of the transitions in this one already. It's just not, it doesn't do it for me. I love the polkas now, and I think this is my least favorite of them.
I am okay. So two things. One, MC Lars's flash drive unfortunately does not have this polka, but it does have the 1986 Salute to the Grammys polka that we just referenced that he did with Frankie Yankovic.
Frankie Yankovic.
So that's amazing. Fun. We can take a look at that. But that 1982 polka is still missing. I'm going to keep looking for it. Listeners of this show, if you have any leads on that, boy, do I need that in my life. Wow. And following that, I am going to disagree with you, Matt. And I
thought you were. You were speaking very highly of this one.
I am actually putting this at the top.
Really?
I am. I really like this one. I don't know why. Again, I think I love the frantic energy, and this one really does resonate with me. I knew this. I didn't even really, I mean, I did re-listen to it, but I didn't have to because this one was at the ready for me. I think I just like the references, and like I said, I love the Rock Me Amadeus thing. There's moments in this that just really, really work for me. I feel like at this point in his career, in my mind, I feel like the polkas, the execution of the polkas are getting better and better. We're going to hit a point where he hits like a top level, and then it's just going to be like kind of a free for all. But I actually do think he's getting better at this as we go.
I think that we're going to hit a point probably right when we get into the 90s where it just becomes, at this point, it becomes your musical preference and your musical reference points.
Yeah.
Is going to dictate where you rank the polkas, which is slightly biased, but the strength of these really depends on how familiar are you with the songs that are being polka'd. And if you don't know the songs, it kind of feels like a miss.
It does become harder, but I'm looking at my list and right now I have the polkas in reverse order where the newest is my favorite and then down to oldest. So no, that tracks for me. I maybe my ear for these is a little bit different. I do generally know most of the references he makes musically, but I'm also just so fascinated by how he glues all of this stuff together. It is just fascinating to me. And it just gets
better. I'm not as strong of a Rolling Stones fan as you are. So I know that the Rolling Stones one, there's going to be some gaps in that one for me.
Oh, that is the next one, isn't it?
Yeah. Once we enter the 90s, though, it's like I am familiar with every song that is in every one of those polkas, and that's where it's going to become so much more difficult. All right, well, it might be a bit before we talk about a polka, but next week we'll still be talking about a polka party.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for more Weird Algorithm.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass to Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Come, baby, come, baby, baby, come, come.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.